Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, June 12th, 2023. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Idaho Governor Brad Little wants full audit of state's Empowering Parents Education Grant Program geared towards low and middle income parents. Idaho's Workforce Development Council is expected to spend 7 months deciding which jobs are in-demand careers and therefore eligible for the $8,000 scholarships under the new Idaho Launch Program. Camp Hope in Spokane closed last week, and the city of Spokane Valley nearby authorizes spending on its first homeless shelter. The Camp Hope story is likely to be an issue in the campaign for Spokane mayor this year. Four dead from Spokane in car that overturned in water near Riggins, Idaho over the weekend, and torrential downpour in the Lewiston-Clarkson Valley Friday afternoon. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Idaho Governor Brad Little has asked the State Board of Education to move quickly to authorize a full financial audit of the state's Empowering Parents Microgrant Program. After a board review in April found 7% of the purchases parents made to educate their offspring under the program appeared to be in violation of the program's rules. State Board of Education staff found in the April review 13% of the purchases under the program were questionable, and staffers requested more information to determine if the purchases were legal under the law. The $50 million initiative allocates up to $1,000 per child or up to $3,000 per household to help families cover out-of-pocket education costs, such as computers and learning materials. The Idaho Capital Sun reports the program is oriented towards low-income and middle-income households. In a letter to the Ed Board Friday, Governor Little wrote, "I am offering the Division of Financial Management to contract with an independent third party to conduct a full financial audit of the program and status of eligible versus ineligible purchases. This will help us ensure we know the full scope of the situation and what has been reimbursed through the online marketplace relative to applicable laws. Only recently, my staff first received specific details from staff on identified purchases that may not have been permitted. I expect all agencies within my administration to communicate early and often on matters of this magnitude." Before the Ed Board launched its initial review in April, there were red flags, including the purchases of TV sets, smartwatches, clothing, and household cleaning supplies. The Idaho Capital Sun reports the State Education Department had processed Empowering Parents microgrants to 49,429 students as of May 15th, for which the state paid out $49.2 million. The state started the program last fall using $50 million in federal pandemic aid. Under the program, parents using the grant program must make the purchases online only from state-approved vendors, and the parents never received the money directly. Instead, the state deposited the money into a digital wallet. According to earlier reporting by the Idaho Education News, the New York-based company Primary Class, which the state contracted with to run the program and the online marketplace, never had run a statewide program of this type. Primary Class stood to receive $1.5 million overseeing the program, sending $50 million in federal pandemic relief money to the vendors of the education supplies. Idaho officials plan to use $30 million a year of state money to make Empowering Parents a permanent program. Idaho's Workforce Development Council is expected to spend the next 7 months deciding which jobs are in-demand careers, and high school graduates heading to trade schools for those careers will be eligible for $8,000 scholarships under the new Idaho Launch Program. The Workforce Development Council met in a Boise office complex conference room Wednesday to begin the process last week. The legislation implementing Idaho Launch, which was a key $80 million part of Governor Brad Little's proposed budget, defines an in-demand career as one with annual job growth higher than 10% per year and with more than 100 job openings per year in the state. According to the Idaho Capital Sun, Workforce Development Council Executive Director Wendy Sechrist said that will likely include anything in healthcare and will be unlikely to include such things as lawyers, librarians, and media and communications workers. The council can also declare emerging or transitional occupations eligible for Idaho Launch scholarships. So they could include logging jobs, even though the number of jobs in that category is not increasing by 10% per year. High school seniors will be able to start applying for Idaho Launch scholarships in October, even though the council does not have to come up with a list of in-demand careers until January 1st. That's just a couple of weeks before the start of the 2024 legislative session, and legislators are expected to give the program renewed scrutiny. The Idaho Launch program barely passed in this year's legislative session, with strong opposition from right-wing extremists in the legislature who claimed it was socialism and cronyism. The Workforce Development Council is made up of 33 members, mostly from industry and business. It also includes State Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield and State Board of Education President Linda Clark. The two lawmakers on the committee are Republican Lori McCann of Lewiston, who sits on the House Education Committee, and Democratic Senator Carrie Semmelroth of Boise, who sits on the Senate Education Committee. The legislation implementing Idaho Launch includes required performance measures such as job placement rates, completion rates, demographic breakdowns, and counting the number of launch recipients that stay in Idaho. College of Eastern Idaho Administrator Lori Barber told the council she wants exit interviews with launch recipients as the program moves forward so they can understand what went wrong if trade program students don't complete their education or job training. Barber said, it's a really hard group because sometimes they just disappear. You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Oregon lawmakers could make sure more students have access to free school meals. A federal pandemic waiver ensuring school meals for all kids expired last year. However, House Bill 5014 would approve $17 million to ensure about three-quarters of Oregon schools can offer free breakfast and lunch meals to all students, starting in the 2024 school year. Matt Newell-Chang is with Oregon Food Bank.
This is a great practice because it eliminates the stigma for kids who are eating meals at school. It levels the playing field.
Last week, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved HB 5014. The Senate Republican walkout remains a barrier to passing legislation, but because it's an education budget bill, anti-hunger advocates believe it will make the cut before the session adjourns. Republicans have promised to come back for the last day of session to pass budget bills. David Whelan, with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon, says there are a number of benefits for making sure all students are fed, including ensuring they are present during the school day.
We see educational achievement increase. We see racial disparities decrease. We see disciplinary actions decrease. There are all sorts of benefits from this critical piece of the school day.
Newell-Chang says because of the expired pandemic waiver, school lunch debt has increased in Oregon this year.
We would love to throw the phrase school lunch debt into the dustbin of history. There's no reason that we should be tracking parents down, haranguing students for unpaid lunch debt bills. We don't do this for textbooks. We don't do this for tuition.
Five states have committed to offering universal free school meals, including California. For Oregon News Service, I'm Eric Tegedov.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
The city of Spokane Valley has authorized the spending of $4 million in federal American Rescue Plan money to help two nonprofits to establish the city's first homeless shelters. Reclaim Project Recovery, which helps men dealing with addiction, homelessness, and criminal backgrounds, will get $1.46 million to provide a multi-purpose facility. Reclaim Project Recovery CEO Sean Kingsbury told the Spokesman Review the facility will likely be a former warehouse and will only provide 10 to 12 shelter beds. Kingsbury says Reclaim Project Recovery already houses 140 men in Spokane and provides its clients with jobs and training, often in construction and landscaping. Family Promise of Spokane will receive $1.1 million of the money for its multi-purpose FLASH program, which includes housing families. Mayor Pam Haley said the Family Promise program appealed to her. Haley said, "You want to make it as easy as you can for people that are experiencing homelessness to keep their kids in the same place and at least have some stability." The news comes as the year-and-a-half-old Camp Hope closed last week. The last people living in campers and tents left the State Department of Transportation parcel near Interstate 90 in Spokane last week. The gates of the fence around Camp Hope were locked. The camp had more than 600 residents last summer at its peak and had become a political football as the city of Spokane and Spokane County on one side and the State Department of Transportation, run by then Transportation Secretary Lisa Brown on the other, fought in court and in competing press releases and competing press conferences over how quickly the camp should close and what should be offered to people who live there. Now Lisa Brown is challenging incumbent Mayor Nadine Woodworth for the mayor's position in this year's elections. Idaho County Coroner Cody Funk has reported people fishing near Riggins found four members of a family dead in a vehicle upside down in the water Saturday. The coroner's Facebook page says someone reported the family was overdue at their destination Saturday when traveling from Spokane, and their last known location was the top of Whitebird Grade on U.S. Highway 95. The Facebook page says a fisherman located a vehicle upside down in the water north of Riggins near milepost 199. Idaho County Sheriff's Office, the Idaho State Police, the Riggins Ambulance and Dive Team, and the Idaho Transportation Department responded to assist. It was confirmed this was the missing family and their vehicle. All occupants succumbed to their injuries. Notification has been made to the family of Calvin C.J. Miller, age 36, Dakota Miller, age 17, Jack Miller, age 10, and Delahia Miller, age 8, all of Spokane, Washington. A torrential downpour Friday afternoon in the Lewiston-Clarkston Valley caused flooding in the area, including Lewiston-Sunset Park neighborhood, which had been recovering from flooding due to a breached reservoir in January. Two workrooms in the temporary home of the Nez Perce County Prosecutor's Office in the 1100 block of F Street were flooded due to roof leaks. The prosecutor's office is at a temporary location while workers build the new county courthouse. County prosecutor Justin Coleman said workers scrambled to move computers and paper documents. Coleman told the Lewiston Tribune they were able to save all that stuff. The basement of the current Nez Perce County Courthouse also flooded. The Hangar Mall in Clarkston announced it will be closed until tomorrow due to the flooding. Weather stations reported the Lewiston-Clarkston Valley received 0.64 inches of rain in a 23-minute period Friday afternoon. 0.89 inches of rain had fallen in a 36-hour period ending Saturday at the Lewiston-Nez Perce County Regional Airport. National Weather Service meteorologist Valerie Thaler in Spokane said dry soil conditions exacerbated the flooding in the valley. The weather system that caused the flooding in the Lewiston-Clarkston Valley Friday also caused up to half an inch of rain and wind gusts up to 55 miles per hour in the Spokane and Coeur d'Alene areas Thursday night. The National Weather Service says there were reports of downed and uprooted trees in the region. Spokane International Airport received 0.38 inches of rain Thursday, while Harrison, Idaho received 0.54 inches. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, partly cloudy tonight, low 57. 20% chance of precipitation tomorrow, a slight chance of showers between 10 a.m. and noon, then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Sunny, high 84. Tuesday night, 20% chance of precipitation, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., and then a slight chance of showers before midnight. Mostly clear otherwise, low 48 and windy. West winds 15 to 20, increasing to 20 to 25 after midnight. Winds could gust up to 40 miles per hour. And sunny on Wednesday, high 67. Breezy east winds 15 to 20, gusts up to 30. Currently 75 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. You can also go to the KRFP website, where you can find a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. There you can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. You can use a PayPal option, and there's also a Patreon button. Also on the website, you can stream KRFP and listen to archives of KRFP programming for the last 2 weeks. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Support KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. Music begins at 7:30 with Zach Dunoir. And he'll be live in the studios as well as Chia Pet on 9 to 11 tonight. At 11 o'clock, syndicated world music with the Motherland Influence till 1 a.m. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Hunga Dunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hunga Dunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram. KRFP programming is also sponsored by
Mikey's Euros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine, such as Euros, falafel, hummus, and tabbouleh, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.